This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coaches are losing their minds out here. Good morning. It is Wednesday, October 27th. You are listening to the College Football Daily. My name is Trey Scott. Fun episode today. I promised yesterday we would be talking about Texas Tech's opening, and we sure are. Jarrett Johnson from Inside the Red Raiders, which is 24/7 Sports' Texas Tech site, will join us in a few minutes, fresh off the Sonny Cumbie interim coach introduction press conference, and we're talking about expectations for Texas Tech and why fans don't trust AD Kirby Hokut anymore, why they fired Matt Wells midseason, whether that was the right move, and whether it's a Jeff Traylor versus Sonny Dykes stare down for the job out in West Texas. And would either of those coaches say no? Sonny Dykes, the SMU coach, was asked about it on Tuesday. He said, "Look, we're focused on getting ready for Houston, and I'm not ever going to talk about other jobs. I just don't think it's fair to anybody. Look, our guys are excited to play. We're focused to play. We know how big of a game this is for a program. No one's worried about anything other than Saturday night." It's not quite a denial, but why would you deny anything that can get you leverage? And speaking of leverage, Penn State's James Franklin, it was reported late Monday night that he had switched agents and had now taken up Jimmy Sexton, the big bad Jimmy Sexton. CAA represents at least 11 of the SEC head coaches. He's an iconic figure in college sports as a power broker, as an agent, as a god, really. He controls probably more than you could ever imagine. And so for James Franklin to switch agents on October 25th with the LSU job open and the USC job open, I think that's a little stinky. And in fact, with a big Ohio State game looming on Saturday on the heels of a bad loss to Illinois, Coach Franklin didn't seem very locked in at his Tuesday press conference. Our producer Lance has stitched together two things. First, Franklin's going to incorrectly refer to Ohio State as Illinois, and then he's going to call Ohio State's Horseshoe Stadium the Big House.
You know, again, I think that's a fair question. Obviously, you know, we're trying to be focused on Illinois and talking about Illinois as much as we possibly can. Obviously, tremendous challenge going on the road to the Big House.
Doesn't seem locked in. Seems like he might have one foot out the door. He's had a long week, though. I get misspeaking. I get the burnout aspect of everything. I can only imagine the stress he's under. He probably has been up all night thinking about the Illinois loss, and that's why it happened. So it's bad. It's a bad look. I think it's fairly explainable. I think the Jimmy Sexton thing happening and then coming out this week, come on, something's up. So I think Penn State fans would have loved for James Franklin to respond to rumors of coaching moves elsewhere in the same way that Mike Tomlin, the Pittsburgh Steelers head coach, did on Tuesday. He got angry about questions and rumors linking him to the USC job. Here's a listen.
"Guys, I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? That'll be the last time that I address it. And not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never. Okay? Anybody else got any questions about any college jobs? It's not a booster with a big enough blank check. Anybody asking Sean Payton about that? You know, anybody asking Andy Reid about stuff like that?"
Mike Tomlin's the best. Saying there's not a booster with a big enough blank check, wondering why nobody's asking about Sean Payton or Andy Reid. Look, even if Mike Tomlin got fired by the Steelers, which shouldn't happen, give him let's go get another quarterback for the Steelers. But even if that happened, he would be hired by another NFL team within 72 hours. It's one of the best coaches in football. He's not going to USC. He's not going to college football, period. You think these big time coaches want to deal with NIL and transfer portal? We've got big name college coaches trying to get out, trying to get to the NFL. It's not happening the other way around. So anyway, all that's to say, silly season is upon us earlier than I can ever remember. Makes for some really fun college football content. Don't worry, later this week, we're still going to be previewing Florida, Georgia, and all of the other big week 9 games. But this is a good coaching episode today. So I'm excited for you to listen to Jarrett Johnson talk about what's going on in West Texas. All right, fresh from Sonny Cumbie's press conference as the interim coach of the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Jarrett Johnson joins us right now. Jarrett, we'll start with this. Did you agree with the decision to fire Matt Wells midseason?
Hey, first off, thanks for having me on. But, I did actually. Personally, I could not be a bigger fan of the man that Matt Wells is. But in terms of wins and losses, I mean, the record is what it is, 13-17. There were some games this year where the team simply did not appear to be prepared to play. Now, I know that doesn't all fall on Matt Wells, but I mean, the buck, you know, did stop with him. The Texas game, the defense couldn't even get lined up. That certainly didn't help, you know, and they're already at a disadvantage playing, UT in Austin. And then against TCU, it was very, very frustrating in terms of the strategy, the game plan, the effort, all that. And then there was an unfortunate coach's show of all things where Coach Wells was asked a simple question about, you know, what he liked about Lubbock and, you know, which should be a slam dunk no matter where you're at. You should be able to sell their program and where it's at and have that ready. And he fumbled around with that for 2 minutes, and it became a big deal here in Raiderland in Lubbock. And then followed that up by blowing a 14-point lead against a Kansas State team that really just quite honestly isn't very good either. So I was not surprised at all.
Yeah, I was working on a college football overtime for Chris Hummer this weekend, and I had Texas Tech. I had that game written up at halftime, man. I was like, yeah, jumped out all over Kansas State.
I didn't. I know Texas Tech football. I was like, nope. I was telling people in the press box, I was like, this isn't over. Like they could easily blow this, man. They did.
The coach's show. I got to know. Like, did he come to a conclusion on something he liked about Lubbock?
The host. Chris Lovell, he's a good dude. He's, you know, with a rival side, but he's a good dude here in Lubbock. He hosts the show and he helped him out. He finally just said, the people is what you like. And, you know, and Wells was able to recover and, you know, but the damage was done. I mean, it was, it looked and sounded awkward. And I think people normally make a bigger deal of those kind of things than what they are. But it was, in this particular case, it was as bad as like the fans and the message board and everything, you know, what people were saying.
All right. So, the best season by a Texas Tech head coach was Cliff in 2013 at 8-5. I could go a few directions. I could go like what Kirby Hokut, what the confidence level in him is making the right hire. I could go who is the right hire? You know, what's the expectation for success? Let's start with Hokut. I was reading your message board. The fans feel like there's not, my sense from the fans is there's not much faith in him making some sort of hire that's going to get Texas Tech back on the Mike Leach track. And granted, things have changed. And I do want to also get into the fact of like the Big 12 changing, how that could affect the coaching search and the perception of the program as a whole. It's a very proud program out there in West Texas. But is Kirby Hokut, does he have to make the right hire here? And why do fans think he won't?
Yeah, those are good questions. I thought he had to make the right hire with Matt Wells. And I actually asked him in this press conference when he was announcing the coaching change, you know, because it wasn't like manufactured. He said himself, I was there when he hired Matt Wells, that this was his hire. He went out and got Matt Wells, and I called it Lone Wolf McQuaid. He went all Lone Wolf McQuaid on everybody. That was after I felt like he stayed with Kingsbury 2 years too long, which, look, Kingsbury's doing a great job at Arizona, and I'm as happy as anyone, but I was here, and even Kingsbury himself said he didn't recruit. I mean, the roster was in shambles by the time he left. He was here 2 years too long. So he made that mistake, and then he went and got Matt Wells, which didn't even last three full seasons. So honestly, I think most athletic directors, that would have been it. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. You don't get a third opportunity to hire a football coach after two failures. But, you know, the basketball program, our national championship, there's that on his ledger. The baseball team is a national power. They won a national track championship. So, I mean, there's that. But football is what drives everything. And the bottom line is Tech football has been terrible for the most part since Kirby Hoke has been here. So I would have thought that Wells would have been his last. But he has good relationships with the president and the chancellor and all the powers that be here in Lubbock, which definitely helps him. And yeah, I'm as skeptical as the fans are about his ability to, just because of his track record. I mean, look back at Miami, he didn't have a great track record either. And then, you know, Kingsbury was kind of like, that was going to happen. I don't want to just go, you know, I didn't like the extension he gave him after the first year, but Kingsbury was going to be hired. There was just, that, no matter who the athletic director was at the time, that was going to happen. So I get it. I think he held on too long, but He's one of Tech's favorites. You know, Kingsbury is. So I kind of get that. But then Matt Wells has not worked. So, you know, obviously didn't last three seasons. So, yeah, I mean, I have concerns. Now, they're going to do a search committee with a couple of the regents and the biggest, like, you know, money donors basically are going to be on part of the search committee, along with Sammy Morris, who was a All-American fullback here and played for the Dolphins and Patriots in the NFL. He's back and serving in various capacities for the program, and he's going to help. And then another, like a deputy athletic director, Tony Hernandez, is also going to be on the committee. Now, no one has really made it clear how that's going to work, but ultimately it's still going to be Kirby Hokut who submits the suggestion on who they think should be the next head coach to the president, the chancellor, the board, and all that. So we'll see what happens.
Who do you think it should be? Who's the first call? I got a few names in my head. I've got Jeff Traylor at UTSA. And I've got Sonny Dykes at SMU. His father. I mean, we're just telling the listeners this because you know this. Spike is a legend. Right. The late Spike Dykes was a legend at Texas Tech. Are one of those two your first calls?
I've actually reported on Inside the Red Raiders that they've already reached out to Jeff Traylor through, you know, intermediaries. I don't know exactly who it is in each camp, but I mean, very good sources, multiple very good sources that it's happened and that there's possibly mutual interest between Jeff Traylor and Texas Tech. So timing, because it's in the season. I mean, he's trying to do something special there at UTSA, which that's a mouthful in itself, right? So I like Jeff Traylor. That's who the first target is. Sonny Cumbie has an opportunity. I mean, they're playing Oklahoma and Norman. You win that game, which sounds impossible right now. But if you do, again, anything can happen. Then, I mean, that makes national news. That goes a long way toward him getting an opportunity, I think. You know, you still have three games against currently three ranked opponents. They have one of the toughest remaining schedules in all of college football. So he's going to have his hands full there. But, I mean, if he does win a couple of these games, I mean, he makes a pretty strong case for himself. And I know there's some influential people here in Lubbock that really like Sonny Cumbie and would like to see him become the head coach. So, and then Sonny Dykes. Yeah. You know, 3 years ago, he was kind of talked about as a candidate, and I don't know if he really was, but I like him a lot more now. What he's done at SMU, and, you know, I've seen the way they recruit. I'm from the Metroplex, of course, so I pay attention anyways, but also some of the recruits that Tech and SMU go after are the same. And what they've done in their branding with matching with Dallas and the recruiting and all that, it's been very smart. It's been very intelligent. So I like that the idea of Sonny Dykes coming back to West Texas a lot more than I did 3 years ago. Now, and those are really, you know, we do these hot boards. You come up with a lot of names and everything. But those are the two names I've heard so far earlier in the process, of course, along with Sonny Cumbie.
Have you heard anything on one of the Bryleses?
No, only from fans. If Kirby Hokut is still the athletic director, I can say this with 100% confidence. If Kirby Hokut is still the athletic director and they hire, especially our Bryles, but either of the Bryles, then he was forced to do it. But, you know, it was like, well, then you can, you know, it was either like hire them or you got to, you know, pack your stuff, you know, because he doesn't want to do it.
I can't imagine Art, at least that'd be
too. There's a lot of people out here that want it. And it's not shocking now. It was at first, but there are more people than you'd think that would like to see Art Bryles be the head coach at Texas Tech. And that, you know, that's kind of frustrating for me, to be honest. But hey, you know, they're fans and they're tired of losing. And Art Bryles, for all the considerable baggage, he's won everywhere he's been at.
Yeah, I mean, like in 3 years, we're going to see NFL fans like ask for John Gruden. So it's just how fans. Yeah,
it's true.
No, yeah. I feel that. My last question for you: can we like walk through explaining? And you tell me if I'm wrong. Maybe this is just a straw man. But anyone who says that Sonny Dykes or Jeff Traylor would say no because the Big 12 is not what it was and it's harder to recruit to West Texas than it might be to recruit to SMU or San Antonio. And if they're kind of the same conference level, then what does it matter other than the money? Am I an idiot for saying that's a possibility as to why someone might
say? I think that's way overstating it. Now, when this all first happened, like that was kind of a feeling, you know, I think they were proactive. And, you know, when you say to somebody, okay, you're replacing UT and OU with Houston, Cincinnati, UCF and BYU, it's kind of like, but then you look, I mean, those programs aren't terrible. They've made some noise. BYU, you could argue is a national brand in a way. I mean, at least
it is.
Cincinnati, obviously, I mean, Cincinnati would probably be the favorite of the Big 12 with OU and UT in it right now, you know, or at least up there. So I'm just saying, while it doesn't, they don't have the appeal, they're not as, I guess, sexy as UT and OU. It almost feels like there's some excitement about adding those four teams. And in terms of like, if you could recruit to UTSA or SMU better than Tech, I mean, that has not been my experience in covering recruiting and moving forward. Like, there has been some people, especially initially, some players like, oh, I'm going to wait and see. But now I feel like with them being proactive, there is a positive feeling about adding those four schools. For Texas Tech's perspective, it looks like, I don't think it's going to be like 25 years like it was first reported, but it looks like at least for a while, they're still going to play Texas. So you're still going to get that revenue. Losing OU, I mean, there's not really a rivalry there other than what's kind of been cultivated in this short time in the Big 12. So, I mean, honestly, at least for Texas Tech, it's kind of overblown. Not initially, but the way it's shaken out now, I really don't believe that you can recruit to UTSA or SMU easier than Texas Tech or Oklahoma State or name any of the other schools, you know, that are kind of out away from those bigger cities. Yeah. You know, now Houston, I think there's something to be said that Houston's going to have a heck of an advantage. I think you can recruit to TCU easier than you can to Oklahoma State or Tech. But, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. Every program has something unique to offer. Tech is building. It's going to be one of the nicest football practice facilities. Just got a big $20 million donation from one of those guys who shockingly is going to be on the coaching search committee. So, I mean, there's a lot of reasons for optimism for the program. They just need to find the right guy.
I'm glad you mentioned TCU, because if that job comes open, that's a spot for Jeff Traylor as well. It's a strange new world. I just had a lot of weird conference realignment related questions about a coaching search, but we're going to let you get back to it, Jarrett. We appreciate it as always.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Thanks again to Jarrett for joining us right after the press conference. So he was on his phone. He's in the media room. Heard a little clipping, a little audio peeking here or there. It happens. We're working on the fly. We're not all just sitting around in our studios. I mean, I am, but we've got people on the scene. Audio glitches happen. So thanks to Jarrett. Thanks to Lance Glenn, our great producer, for stitching up those episodes or the audio. See, I just misspoke there. So it happens, James Franklin. It absolutely happens. Have a great Wednesday. No football on tonight. I know we're getting to that time of year where we have Wednesday night and Tuesday night football. That is next week. The Mac is back on doing Maction stuff next week. So no football on tonight. Go do something else. We got football on Thursday. We'll have a great weekend following that. We'll talk to you next time on the College Football Daily.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.